He's moving forward with or without Republicans. I'm Pam Puso, Fox News. That's the plan for President Biden, who's facing resistance to his coronavirus relief proposal.
We need to make these investments so the economy can grow the remainder of this year and next year.
The president promoted the package yesterday while sitting alongside his Treasury Secretary.
The White House is focused like a laser on getting a COVID relief deal through Congress. During this meeting in the Oval Office with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, President Biden called for quick action on his $1.9 trillion plan. He says the risk is not doing too much. The risk is not doing enough. And while his preference is to get bipartisan support, the president made it very clear that the priority is simply getting it passed.
Fox says Christian Fisher, at least two Senate Democrats, have also expressed concerns with the price tag. Masks will soon be mandatory on nearly all forms of public transportation. The sweeping order from the CDC takes effect late Monday. Most modes of public transit already require masks, but the CDC order will make it easier for the mandate to be enforced. During his first 10 days in office, the president has leaned heavily on executive actions, and more are expected in the coming days.
President Biden signed more than three dozen orders and actions focusing on health care, racial equity, and climate change. GOP Senator Marco Rubio questions the president's promise of unity.
We now have a president who talks like a centrist, but is governing from the far left.
Next week, the president is expected to announce a new task force to reunite families separated at the border.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. The police officer who died this month after protesters stormed the Capitol will lie in honor next week in the Capitol Rotunda. Brian Sicknick will be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. America's listening to Fox News.
Last year, there was a victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. That means a cyber bad guy could be selling your personal info on the dark web without you even knowing it. That's just one form of identity theft. Now, you might miss certain threats to your identity by just relying on bank statements or monitoring your credit. The solution? LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. LifeLock sees certain threats that you could miss on your own. Plus, if you become a victim of identity theft, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will help you fix your problems. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help protect your personal information. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com using the promo code RUSH. Just go to LifeLock.com or call 800-440-4833 and enter the promo code RUSH. Promo code RUSH for 25% off.
Prosecutors call him a danger to society, a member of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, who's accused of taking part in the Capitol riot earlier this month.
Prosecutors say Dominic Pizzola, who's 43, was one of the first rioters to enter the Capitol on January 6th, using a police shield to break a window. Now, they say law enforcement agents have found weapons and bomb-making instructions inside his home in Rochester and are asking a judge to keep him in jail until his trial. The Marine Corps veteran already faces charges, including destruction of government property, and more could be coming.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. As for the bombs found at the Capitol Hill headquarters of the Democratic and Republican National Committees, the FBI says they were planted the night before the riot. It doesn't have to be kept frozen, and it doesn't require two doses. Within a week or so, Johnson & Johnson is expected to seek emergency use authorization for its coronavirus vaccine.
Johnson & Johnson says their candidate vaccine shows an overall effectiveness of 66%, though among trial patients in the U.S., it was 72%. It was much lower in South America and South Africa, probably because of the newly emerging strains of the virus. Still, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine showed an 85% effectiveness in preventing severe COVID-19 disease and the need for hospitalization.
Fox says Evan Brown, so far in the U.S., more than 21 million Americans have received a first dose of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Here's another incentive to get vaccinated, at least if you're living behind bars in North Carolina. Most prisoners can get 5 days knocked off their sentences if they're vaccinated against COVID-19. The package of incentives also includes extra visitations and a free 10-minute phone call. Across the state, officials say more than 500 inmates are infected with the virus. Pam Puso, Fox News.
On the Beltway in Virginia, on the inner loop at the off-ramp to go on to 66, the left lane of the off-ramp is blocked with a minor accident that is not causing any delays and no other issues to report on the Beltway. Earlier road work on 66 westbound at Fair Oaks, Route 50 has been cleared. That overnight road work has cleared and all lanes are now open. On the freeway, you will find some road work taking place till about 8 o'clock this morning in both directions. Between the 9th Street Tunnel and the 3rd Street Tunnel, two lanes are blocked. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a chilly Saturday morning, and highs this afternoon will only reach the upper 30s, but take advantage of the sunshine to prepare. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert Sunday and Monday, and a winter storm watch is in effect for most of the DMV starting late tonight for the expectation of heavy mixed precipitation. We could see up to 6 inches of snow accumulation on Sunday alone, with more rain and snow likely Monday. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
The market is constantly changing. The Marketplace Minute keeps you up to date 1 minute at a time before your morning exercise.
Alexa, play Marketplace Minute.
All operators file for bankruptcy.
While organizing your receipts.
Hey Siri, play Marketplace Minute.
Says it's been spending more on hiring.
During your afternoon snack.
Hey Google, play the Marketplace Minute.
Upward swings in indices in Europe and Asia.
The Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily. Ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. Listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed. Queen, now $17.99. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Fast Wi-Fi. You use it to connect just about everything, which means having really fast Wi-Fi matters. A lot. That's why Xfinity is breaking the gig barrier and introducing Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. That's a big deal. It's a big deal for streaming big games, having big meetings, and making big plans. It's a big deal for families with one kid, or two kids, or three kids, especially if there's one kid who has enough devices for 10 kids. It's a big deal for gamers who are streaming while someone else is posting about their virtual spin class. And yet, it's also a big deal for a quiet Friday night in. So get in on Wi-Fi speeds faster than a gig. That's more than enough speed to power every device in the house. Can your internet do that? Introducing gig speeds over Wi-Fi. It's the fastest Wi-Fi you can get, and it's only from Xfinity. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store to learn more. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Looking to refinance? This is Larry O'Connor, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the mortgage professionals that I recommend. Call Mark at 202-625-1221, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And what a wild week in Washington. And remember, you know, how at the end of the week, after a week in the Trump administration, your head would be spinning. Well, I'm spinning now, and we'll try and put it in perspective for you this morning and kind of look back over the week. As an example, the president signed 40 executive orders so far. 40 executive orders and actions. And to put that in perspective, that's Joe Biden, 40 executive orders and actions so far. In the Obama 8 years of presidency, there were 276 executive orders. President Trump signed 220 executive orders. So President Trump averaging about 55 a year, and Joe Biden has averaged 40 executive orders in a week and a half. So those critics who claim that President Trump was an autocrat or a dictator, I wonder if those critics will be saying similar things about President Biden as we move forward. The New York Times even reacted to it. This is an opinion from the entire editorial board of the New York Times. Now, this is not just one op-ed writer in the New York Times. This is the editorial board of the New York Times. The headline ease up on the executive actions, Joe. President Biden is right not to let his agenda be held hostage, but legislating through Congress is a better path. And I want to excerpt a little bit from it. Again, these are excerpts from the New York Times editorial written by the whole board. A week into his presidency, Mr. Biden has issued a raft of executive orders and other actions, but this is no way to make law. A polarized, narrowly divided Congress may offer Mr. Biden little choice, but to employ executive actions or see his entire agenda held hostage, these directives are a flawed substitute for legislation. They are intended to provide guidance to the government and need to work within the discretion granted the executive by existing law of the Constitution. They do not create new law, though executive orders carry the force of law, and they are not meant to serve as an end run around the will of Congress. By design, such actions are more limited in what they can achieve than legislations, and presidents who overreach invite intervention by the courts. Now, those are excerpts, but that is from the editorial board of the New York Times. So that's how they reacted to it. How did Nikki Haley react to it? Of course, former governor of South Carolina and former UN ambassador in the Trump administration. Here's what she had to say.
There's a lot of things. Why didn't you sit down and talk with those governors? I was a governor. Why didn't you talk to those governors before you stopped the Keystone Pipeline? Why didn't you talk to those governors before you banned fracking? Why aren't you using leverage? If Iran is producing nuclear weapons, why, before just jumping right back into the Iran deal, why aren't you using those sanctions as leverage? You know, with China, why aren't you calling them out on the human rights issues that they have instead of jumping back into the Human Rights Council? This is about strategy. This is about being smart. And what Biden's showing is he's more interested in reversing everything President Trump did than being strategic in how we keep America strong going forward.
And among the executive actions, a lot with energy. And you heard about the Keystone Pipeline, stopping the construction of the Keystone Pipeline, costing thousands and thousands of jobs, not to mention that it may cost America its energy independence. What will that mean when it comes to your energy prices at the gas tank or what you pay to heat the home during the winter? Well, Patrick Morrisey is the Republican Attorney General of West Virginia, and he reacted to President Biden's energy directives.
Well, I think they're really destructive to the American economy, and I think it's important for everyone watching to have a little bit of context here. Yes, there was a very robust discussion during the last presidential campaign, but what we're seeing in the first week of the Biden administration is that the president is really taking a wrecking ball to many of the states that have oil, gas, coal, manufacturing jobs. That's going to have a real detrimental impact, especially as the American economy is coming out of COVID-19, a pandemic. To further amplify this, you look, when President Obama was in office, I was involved in a lot of the legal challenges relating to his efforts to shut down jobs. Biden is going much further. It's a very aggressive agenda, this Green New Deal, and it's much more radical than we even saw under President Obama. And I think he's really kicking the American people when they're down economically, and it's not a message of unity that he's been talking about. When you go a lot further than Barack Obama, you're not talking about a moderate president.
So that is Patrick Morrisey, the West Virginia Attorney General. Now, a lot of the energy policy will be directed by the climate czar, John Kerry. John Kerry logged a few miles last year in his private jet. He logged enough miles to create the same carbon footprint that 16 cars would have created throughout the year. And that's just one example. So here's what John Kerry is saying about the U.S. kind of relationship to the world when it comes to pollutants. And keep in mind that we're making some very drastic moves when it comes to energy consumption and the way we get our energy, and this whole move towards solar power, moving people away from their current jobs, those People who were working on the Keystone Pipeline will now have to find new jobs, and of course they want to channel those people into a new career in solar energy. But this is John Kerry telling us what the percentage is of the U.S. global pollution.
Close to 90%, about 88, I guess, of all emissions come from outside our borders, too. So the whole world has to come to this table together to solve this problem.
So 90% of the pollution is outside of the U.S., but we're going to do like 150% of the work on it here in this country with all of the new efforts toward solar energy and away from fossil fuels. What are we doing to influence the other 90% of the world about their energy policy? We'll rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, but there are no apparent conditions that we've heard to try and force China to come into compliance with the Paris Climate Accord. They have until 2030. That's 9 years from now. So we will take this burden on the American people. We're only 10% of the problem globally, but we will be inheriting very dramatic changes if all of these policies go through. So keep that in mind as you watch the future movement of the Biden administration when it comes to climate change and the whole move away from fossil fuels onto solar energy and electric vehicles. And I need to ask an expert, I'll maybe try and do this over the week, how do you generate enough power to charge all the batteries of all the vehicles in the federal government when they move to electric vehicles in the federal government? And that's the plan. They're going to take all federal government vehicles and go electric. But you still have to charge the batteries, and I don't think those batteries are all charged on solar energy. And if you have an electric vehicle, my understanding is it's quite a process to charge an electric vehicle. Unless you have a high-powered charging station, it takes a long time. You don't just plug a vehicle into your wall socket and it's ready to go in a half hour. So a lot of questions, I think, remain to be answered as we make this huge move away from fossil fuels. We're at 6:18. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Plenty to cover, but first, let's get the latest on the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Minor accidents in Virginia on the inner loop, with the left lane of the off-ramp is blocked from the inner loop to go on to 66. On the outer loop at 66, watch out for ramp restrictions. The right lane is blocked on the ramp from the outer loop to go westbound on 66. Only the left lane gets by. That is for a long-term work zone. Also, there is some road work in the district on the freeway in both directions between the 9th Street Tunnel and the 3rd Street Tunnel. Two lanes blocked until about 8:30 this morning. Also, in the district, the Suitland Parkway is closed for construction between South Capitol Street and First Sterling Avenue, but detours are in place. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a chilly Saturday morning, and highs this afternoon will only reach the upper 30s, but take advantage of the sunshine to prepare. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert Sunday and Monday, and a winter storm watch is in effect for most of the DMV starting late tonight for the expectation of heavy mixed precipitation. We could see up to 6 inches of snow accumulation on Sunday alone, with more rain and snow likely Monday. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay for the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
It's 23 degrees at 6:19 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, we're all headed for unity. Remember how President Biden was going to unify the country? Well, his lieutenants aren't helping at all. Nancy Pelosi made a real gem of a comment this week. She's pointing now at the enemy. The enemy is from within on Capitol Hill. Now, I mean, this is a pretty heavy-duty statement. Remember when President Trump used to say the press was the enemy of the people? And he was criticized harshly for that stance that he took against the media. Well, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, seems to be taking a similar stance against her Republican colleagues. This is what she had to say. You can interpret it.
I have said this all along, that we will probably need a supplemental for more security for members when the enemy is within the House of Representatives, a threat that members are concerned about in addition to what is happening outside.
So I guess she's afraid she's going to be attacked by some of her fellow colleagues across the aisle. That's how I interpret it. That didn't go over too well with Jim Jordan. He was speaking on Fox this week.
Maria, I think this is a new definition of unity for the Democrats. Call Republicans enemies, call us terrorists. I don't know who she's referring to, but I thought Joe Biden just a week ago said we need to unify, and yet they're going to call us these kind of names. They're going to impeach a president who's already left office. They're going to try to cancel 75 million Americans, won't let them speak, won't let them exercise their First Amendment liberties. I don't know how you unify with that kind of attitude coming from the Speaker of the House and the President of the United States.
And that's Jim Jordan speaking with Maria Bartiromo on Fox this week. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was speaking on MSNBC. And here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's warm message of unity as she addresses Republican colleagues.
There are legitimate white supremacist sympathizers that sit at the heart and at the core of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. There's no consequences for racism, no consequences for misogyny, no consequences for insurrection. And no consequences means that they condone it. We are now away from acting out of fealty to their president that they had in the Oval Office. And now we are talking about fealty to white supremacist organizations as a political tool.
Warm words of unity there from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. As part of the whole unity message and unity effort of the Democratic Party, as was promised by President Biden, we were going to unify, right? So one of the first steps to unify is impeaching the former president, taking him through a Senate trial. Here's Chuck Schumer explaining it, and what I just love so much about Chuck Schumer is the way he talks down to us and the way he takes us for such suckers and insults every American's intelligence. Listen to him lay out all the rationale for impeachment.
The theory that the impeachment of a former official is unconstitutional is flat out wrong by every frame of analysis. Constitutional context, historical practice, precedent, and basic common sense.
Basic common sense. He's going to sell that one on you and me. Basic common sense to impeach and take to trial a president who is no longer in office. That makes no common sense whatsoever. And even if you are a strong Democrat, even if you are a member of the media that covers this kind of political rhetoric, you can't convince me that it makes common sense. It may make political sense for Democrats to ding Donald Trump even further and to try and, you know, legislate that he cannot come back and run again. But it makes absolutely no common sense to go through a Senate trial and impeach a president who is no longer the president. Makes no common sense whatsoever. Here's how Rand Paul felt about it.
Hyper-partisan Democrats are about to drag our great country down into the gutter of rancor and vitriol, the likes of which has never been seen in our nation's history.
Another move for unity by the Democrats. It is 6:25. It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. We have plenty to cover this morning. Jennifer Harper will join us. She's got some interesting perspectives on poll numbers about Donald Trump recently. We'll talk with Jim Trusty this morning about the constitutionality of impeachment. And we'll also talk to Jim about the plea and sentencing of a former FBI attorney. John Gizzi will join us a bit later on this morning, and we'll get John's perspective on these executive actions. A seat In the Senate, typically a Republican seat in Ohio, Rob Portman has announced he will not run for the Senate again. What's behind that? Who might run for the Senate in his place in 2022? We'll ask John Gizzi about that. And also coming up, we've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer this morning. A lot going on the national security front, and we'll ask him as well about the FBI attorney, what that means moving forward in the Russia probe and the John Durham investigation. And KT McFarland will put it all in perspective for us. It's all coming up on the Saturday Morning Update.
New Year's resolutions. We all make them. We all break them. That's why your small business needs more than resolutions. It needs solutions. And you can get them with Comcast Business. Whether you want to work more efficiently with fast, reliable internet and advanced Wi-Fi, make your business safer with powerful cybersecurity solutions, or stay productive with 24/7 support, we've got the solutions you need for your business to get there. So make this year's resolution better solutions. Bounce forward with Comcast Business. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution from Comcast Business starting at $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. And for a limited time, ask how to upgrade to get a $500 prepaid card. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Prepaid card offer ends 2-7-21. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business internet and one voice mobility customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra. Subject to change.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Your favorite things feel made for you. Your education should, too. University of Maryland Global Campus, formerly University of Maryland University College, was made to serve the military and working adults like you. Today, we continue that tradition by offering frequent start dates so you can get started with convenient online learning that fits your schedule, by recognizing your accomplishments with credits you can earn for what you know, by providing no-cost online resources replacing most textbooks because a college education can fit your budget too, and with no SAT or GRE required for most programs. University of Maryland Global Campus, made for you.
You've counted down the seconds. Now make every second count for you. University of Maryland Global Campus will help you say goodbye to 2020 and hello to a new year where you take the next step in your education. Apply by January 31st and we'll waive your application fee. Learn online. Visit umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
2020 was a tough year. Families were hit hard. Now it's time to rebuild. Time to get Virginia small businesses back on their feet, especially minority businesses who are impacted the most. It's time to support our teachers who demonstrated remarkable dedication, and time to expand access to broadband to help Virginia students dependent on remote learning and seniors who need access to critical telemedicine. But how are we going to pay for this? Higher taxes? That will financially crush families. Fortunately, there's a better way. The Virginia State Legislature could continue to regulate and tax Virginia skill gains for another year. That will result in $140 million to be used to aid Virginia's small businesses and financially support our students, teachers, senior citizens, and our minority communities. A skill gains extension means even more needed funding. Why would any legislator ever vote against that? Paid for by Virginia Skill Alliance.
In the news at 6:30, GameStop, the stock that's been creating a frenzy throughout the week, well, its stock rose 67% at the end of the day on Friday. At the same time, the Dow Jones Industrials down 620 points. The The Securities and Exchange Commission said Friday it will work to protect investors by reviewing the recent trading volatility that has fueled a meteoric rise in stocks like GameStop and AMC Entertainment. A Massachusetts congressman who has received both doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine has tested positive for coronavirus. The office of Representative Stephen Lynch said that the lawmaker had had a negative test result before attending President Biden's inauguration. The office says Lynch's positive test result came after a staff member in his Boston office tested positive earlier this week. The statement says he is not displaying any symptoms of COVID-19 and he will self-quarantine. The Democratic push to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour has emerged as an early flashpoint in the fight for a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package. The push to raise the wage is testing President Biden's ability to bridge Washington's partisan divides. Some Republicans support exploring an increase in the minimum wage, but they are uneasy about $15 an hour. Republicans say such a big increase could lead to job losses. Democrats appear poised to push ahead. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, has not been raised since 2009. And the reaction from members of Congress, local lawmakers, and neighborhood residents has been swift and emphatically negative, as the Capitol Police Force acting chief said that permanent fences around the Capitol complex should be part of the, quote, vast improvements in security needed to protect the building and the lawmakers who work inside. It's 6:32, and time now for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Earlier accidents on the inner loop of the Beltway at the off-ramp to 66 cleared, and the left lane of the ramp has been reopened. However, on the outer loop at the off-ramp to go into 66, right lane is blocked on that ramp for a long-term work project. Also, watch out for the construction on the freeway till about 8 o'clock this morning in both directions between the 9th Street Tunnel and the 3rd Street Tunnel, so do be aware of that. Also, in East Riverdale, watch out for road work northbound on Kenilworth Avenue between Rittenhouse Street and River Road. Traffic gets by in the right lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a chilly Saturday morning, and highs this afternoon will only reach the upper 30s, but take advantage of the sunshine to prepare. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert Sunday and Monday, and a winter storm watch is in effect for most of the DMV starting late tonight for the expectation of heavy mixed precipitation. We could see up to 6 inches of snow accumulation on Sunday alone, with more rain and snow likely Monday. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
23 degrees at 6:33 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Transparency and trust, clarity and value, understanding risk. Are you getting these things from your financial advisor? Hi, this is Simon Hamilton, co-host of the Wise Investor Show. Heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on WMAL. Having a financial partner who understands what's important to you can make a big difference.
Simon Hamilton and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Simon, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed wise investor.
It's the Saturday morning update. Glad you've joined us. Jennifer Harper joins us each week. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, there have been a lot of precedents set by the new president, including the number of executive orders and this whole notion of bipartisanship that went right out the window when he was inaugurated. But the new Congress is also setting a precedent?
Yes, this is sort of a cultural moment to pay attention to because, according to a very in-depth analysis, the U.S. Congress is now the most diverse on record, meaning they are the most racially and ethnically diverse in history. This is coming from our pals over at the Pew Research Center. And here's exactly what they say. A quarter of the voting members, 23%, in the U.S. House of Representatives and Senate are racial or ethnic minorities, making the 117th Congress the most racially and ethnically diverse in history. Again, this is coming from the Pew Research Center, and they are simply going over the existing data and records and so forth of the current sitting Congress as of January the 26th. So this is very current. So here's what they say. Overall, 124 lawmakers today identify as Black, Hispanic, Asian Pacific Islander, or Native American, according to data from the Congressional Research Service. This represents a 97% increase over the 107th Congress of 2001-2003, which only had 63 minority members. And they say among today's senators and representatives, the overwhelming majority of racial and ethnic minority members are Democrats, 83%, while only 17% are Republicans. And, of course, a lot of this is predictable, but it's very interesting that this is a historic time when this is much on the minds of both Republicans and Democrats and the public in general about diversity and so forth. And here we have the most diverse Congress in history. It's kind of an interesting moment. It's an evolving moment, but it's coming from our friends at the Pew Research Center. And I pay attention to what they say.
So the former president used to office out of Trump Tower prior to his White House stay. He is now in Florida. And what is he up to?
Well, this is very interesting because out of nowhere, and as a big surprise, a lot of journalists, including myself, got an email from the office of the former president, and that is what Donald J. Trump is calling his office. And they're going to be taking care of Mr. Trump's correspondence, public statements, appearances, et cetera. And I noted the final sentence of this very short email that went out to everyone. They say, President Trump will always and forever be a champion for the American people. So that kind of tells you the tone that he's going to be taking as he goes forward. So more to that and come. Not much out there yet on that. But there is a lot out there about how Republicans are feeling about Mr. Trump these days, even weeks after all of the stuff that went on earlier this month. And Republicans are definitely standing by their man. And, you know, you have to remember, he's only been out of office literally for a couple of days. But the majority of Republicans are now declaring that they still want him on the political battlefield. I'm citing now a new poll from Morning Consult and Politico. This was released on Wednesday, very current. They say the share of Republican voters who say the 45th president should play a major role in the future of the GOP has increased 9 percentage points to 50%. This is compared to a survey that was conducted right after the January 6th riot. So that's pretty significant that sentiment went way up like that. And this is a big poll. 4,296 Republican voters were part of this, and 81% of them have a positive favorability rating for Mr. Trump. This is up from 76% in a similar survey that was conducted in mid-January. So you have to take up those numbers and think about the sentiments of Republicans who are kind of the boots of the ground at this point, and the sentiments are going up. They're still feeling very good. They want President Trump to be in there as a major force in the party. We'll see how that works out. And so one other part of this poll, Rick, was talking about how Republicans feel about themselves, and 36% of Republicans now would remain with the GOP as it is. Another 30% are very interested in becoming a member of the Patriot Party. That's the third party that Trump may fund. We don't know about that either. And 25% either don't know or have an opinion. And a truly independent 8% of Republicans also say they're not interested in either party. So more to that to come. But I thought the positive ratings for President Trump was sort of reassuring for a lot of Republicans.
So a headline at Inside the Beltway that grabbed my eyes this week, Facebook deciding to purge itself of politics?
Yes, isn't that amazing? Let's talk about Facebook for a moment. They're in and out of the news quite often. And you have to remember, when they talk about it being a social giant, it is 2.8 billion active users a month. Okay, they also have some pretty tidy profits coming in. For example, last year, their total revenue was $86 billion. That's up 22% from 2019. And they made a $33 billion profit this year. That's up 36% compared to last year. And you have to wonder, did all the political drama in the 2020 election contribute to that? Because there was so much going on with divisive political content and so forth and so on. Well, regardless of whether it contributed or not, Mark Zuckerberg, he is the founder of Facebook, he has declared that he is going to rid Facebook of politics. And here's what he said in a conference call this week. He said one of the top pieces of feedback that we're hearing from our community right now is that people don't want politics and fighting to take over their experiences on our services. There has been a trend across society that a lot of things have become politicized, and politics have had a way of creeping into everything. So he says, we've stopped recommending civic and political groups in the U.S. ahead of the elections. We're continuing to fine-tune how this works, but we plan to keep civic and political groups out of recommendations for the long term, and we plan to expand the policy globally. And he also noted in his own Facebook post that it was an effort to down the temperature and discourage divisive conversations in communities. So looks like the culture there is changing, or that's what Mark Zuckerberg has to say.
So I see that Abraham Lincoln and Dianne Feinstein are on the same hit list from the cancel culture.
Oh, brother, this was certainly a little cultural moment I paid attention to, and certainly we've all followed whose name was being dropped off of what school or what public property, and certainly San Francisco has been going through the throes of renaming all of its schools, and it's quite a lot of schools, and this week the San Francisco Board of Education has voted to rename 44 schools in the city, which are named after historic figures which they believe, quote, significantly diminish the opportunities of those amongst us to right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is according to the group's resolution, which they released on Tuesday. This is a very expensive proposition for San Francisco. It's going to cost them $440,000 to change the names on these 44 schools. This is according to Deputy Superintendent Myung Lay. The list includes Abraham Lincoln, Francis Scott Key, Paul Revere, Thomas Jefferson's, a lot of the names you've already seen going off of the schools. Also on the list, Senator Dianne Feinstein, California Democrat. And according to our friends at the San Francisco Chronicle, she was placed on the list following allegations that she replaced a damaged Confederate flag, which had been part of a historical display at San Francisco's City Hall in 1984 when she was mayor of the city. So that's your update for San Francisco for the week.
So over the past couple of years, we've seen the popularity of guns go through the roof. But there's a slight problem these days.
Yes, there's a slight problem with the fact that there's no ammunition available for all you Second Amendment fans out there. I came across a simply great sentence from a guy who writes about business up in Milwaukee, and here's what he says. Ammunition has become the new toilet paper, meaning it's very hard to get. He says fears about the COVID-19 pandemic as well as images of violent unrest across the country, including at the U.S. Capitol, and a surge in hunting and outdoor pursuits have sent firearm and ammunition sales in America soaring. Ammunition of just about every caliber is in short supply in many areas of the country. This is coming from Joe Tashler. He is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And he's 100% right, because the National Shooting Sports Foundation, they advised that there was a record-breaking 17.2 million background checks. This is according to, in 2020, according to the FBI data. That's, of course, a record breaker. And this is topping the 15.7 million check in 2016. But again, according to Mr. Tashler, ammunition has become the new toilet paper. So I don't know what to tell you, but it was certainly a little cultural moment for me.
Now that we're not stuck driving in rush hour traffic, we have a little more time on our hands. People have found different ways to spend time online. And here's one that I haven't tried yet, but how about armchair real estate? And you've got a good one for us.
Yes, I do. I feature armchair real estate every Friday afternoon in the Beltway. I just find a cool property that's actually for sale, whether it's a old Victorian house going for $50,000 or something like this. This is something, if you have nothing to do this afternoon, you can look it up. And this is for sale. It's called Red Rock Ranch. This is a luxury mountain retreat. It's located on 200 acres in West Cliff, Colorado. Beautiful area. It's an estate property. It features a ranch house with 12 bedrooms and 8 baths, a homestead cabin with 3 bedrooms, a little beautiful cottage with 3 bedrooms, and all of them in elegant rustic style. The total living space is 11,000 square feet, but it's on 200 acres. It has a chef's kitchen, tin ceilings, landscaped grounds, stable, vegetable garden, pasture, swimming pool, much, much more. All the furnishings are included, and they are really something else. It's priced at $3.9 million, which might get you a one-bedroom apartment in New York City. If you're curious, it's redrockranchforsale.com. redrockranchforsale.com. That'll take up a good 10 minutes of your time this afternoon.
Sounds like fun. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, The Washington Times, as always. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend, everybody.
And at 6:46, it is the Saturday Morning Update. We'll talk to Jim Trustee next on the legal front. But first, let's check out the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
So far, traffic is moving without delay on the major interstates. Beltway looks good throughout Maryland and Virginia. Earlier incident on the inner loop at the off-ramp to 66, all cleared away. However, there is a new traffic pattern on the outer loop at the ramp to go onto 66. Right lane is blocked on that ramp. In Fredericksburg, watch out for a disabled vehicle southbound on 95, south of Plank Road, and that is blocking the right lane. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
It's a chilly Saturday morning, and highs this afternoon will only reach the upper 30s, but take advantage of the sunshine to prepare. Stormwatch 7 is on weather alert Sunday and Monday, and a winter storm watch is in effect for most of the DMV starting late tonight for the expectation of heavy mixed precipitation. We could see up to 6 inches of snow accumulation on Sunday alone, with more rain and snow likely Monday. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Rachel Kay with the Stormwatch 7 weather team.
It's 23 degrees, 6:47 on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. It's always great to get the legal perspectives of Jim Trustee. He is the former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. He is now a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Former FBI lawyer Kevin Kleinsmith received his sentence on Friday after he pled guilty to making a false statement. Now, this was the first criminal case arising from Special Counsel John Durham's investigations into the origins of the Trump-Russia probe. I want to hear what his sentence was and what he could have gotten, and I also want to know what you feel the impact was of what he did.
Sure. I mean, this is probably an outlier for John Durham. In other words, this is not the centerpiece or the biggest case that we're ever going to see, presumably. But it was still serious, that particularly if you're one of the litigants. If you're Mr. Kleinsmith, you're looking at a felony charge with a possible 5-year sentence, a $250,000 fine, and obviously the possibility of probation and community service and other conditions. So there was a lot at stake for him as a person. I never would downplay that. But the judge ended up sentencing him to just 1 year's worth of probation with, I think, 400 hours of community service. So it was an interesting breakdown in terms of how the court got to that level. But keep in mind, the sentencing guidelines, in other words, what the judge is supposedly, or at least advised to sentence within, were probation to 6 months. So I don't think anybody thought from the outside he was looking at any sort of lengthy prison sentence, but there was at least the possibility of getting some sort of jail time or 6 months or so at the Bureau of Prisons, or maybe more.
So here's an FBI attorney that makes a false statement and pleads guilty, and he's on probation? It just strikes me as that's like a slap of the wrist and not a very hard slap.
Yeah, it's not, although, again, it's a little bit of a difficult balance here for the court. Look, if you read the sentencing memo from the government, it's pretty scathing. I mean, and thinking it through, this was the general counsel. This was an attorney at the FBI general counsel. Their job is to keep the FBI straight, to make sure that they don't engage in misconduct or dishonesty or criminal conduct. So to have a lawyer for the FBI in this incredibly sensitive probe that touches on the president, to have him actually change the contents of an email by 180 degrees for the purpose of helping deceive the FISA court, I mean, that cries out for punishment, right? A lot of people look at that and say, my God, that's the one person that should have stopped this in its tracks, and he didn't. But, of course, the litigator in me, Rick, would say everybody still gets sentenced individually. You know, and if you've got 50 character letters, you've got no criminal record, you've got some decent things to say and some remorse to show, and the guidelines are only probation to 6 months, it doesn't make for a complete miscarriage of justice for the court to not sentence him to prison under all those circumstances.
Okay, so let's talk about the impact of what he did. Is there a lasting effect, or what effect has it had on the probe and then in general?
Yeah, well, the first part to think about is Carter Page. I mean, Carter Page was the subject. He was kind of the camel's nose under the tent for politicized FBI agents and leaders to look into the Trump campaign. And that's a person who never should have been through this ringer. And he had an extension of the wiretaps, the FISA court wiretaps, based at least in part on this falsehood. So it was late in the game in terms of the investigation opened up under his name. But, of course, he is a victim of it by being the person that was subjected to that kind of law enforcement scrutiny for no good reason. I think the bigger impact is a broader one, and that is lying to the FISA court. You know, the FBI is entrusted to be straight shooters. And if they're going to the FISA court, it's theoretically a very important matter. And the court should be able to rely on them, as should all the prosecutors around them. So instead of having straight shooting, you had a guy that literally typed in additional words to change the meaning of an important email. And the other thing, Rick, if I can just say this, is, you know, to me, there's some real cultural problems that have been exposed within the FBI. Again, I put all blame on Jim Comey, but, you know, there was certainly a cabal, a small group of people around him, not the rank and file agents, but the people in these political hot potatoes that were conducting themselves in an outrageous way. You know, Mr. Kleinsmith was chastised because in 2016 he made some comments about Trump winning the election saying, "Viva la resistance," meaning, you know, I'll stay here and continue to fight against President Trump. So there's bias right there that shouldn't be happening, particularly from a general counsel. And one last thing on that is he made a comment that was quoted in the government sentencing memo about, well, now that we have this information about whether or not Page had been an informant for the government, we don't have to have a terrible footnote, meaning in the FISA application, we wouldn't have to disclose our mistake in a footnote. And I think that's really telling because, remember, the Russian dossier was given this very minimal footnote in these applications, and it was dishonest. They said, we speculate it might be political, when they knew darn well it was much more than just speculation, that it was a Hillary Rodham Clinton-funded false document. So the culture that's reflected in this plea is more devastating than whatever was going to happen to him.
The trial of former President Trump in the Senate, and I'm not sure whether to call it an impeachment because I think impeachment is in the House. Typically, you would have like a conviction in the Senate, but he's no longer the president, so removal from office isn't applicable. So we'll just call it a trial for the moment, Jim, unless you've got a legal term for it.
Yeah, I have a legal term, unconstitutional sham. Let's go with that one.
Well, 45 Republicans in the Senate felt the same way because they were in a bid this week to declare it unconstitutional. But, of course, 45 votes in the Senate doesn't get you anywhere when you got 55 on the other side of the aisle voting against you. So there will be a trial, at least to begin with, and wanted to get your perspective because you say unconstitutional, they say unconstitutional. It's a really gray area. Do they have a really strong argument on that?
It is a little bit gray because we've just not been down such a terrible road before. But, yes, there's a really strong argument. I think, obviously, having a 55-45 split is at least a decent sign for the president's team that on the merits, eventually, he's going to come out okay. But I would still gear an opening statement towards unconstitutionality, talking about how you have to be a present office holder, not something that was in the past, how there's no incitement here, how there's no evidence being presented at this point, evidence of pre-planning by those that broke in. I mean, it's a very fluid situation factually. And then you have, as we talked about last week, comments by the president that as a matter of law cannot be considered incitement to insurrection. So I think it's everything. It's the process is flawed with this snap impeachment. The substance of the charge is flawed and the constitutionality is at least suspect. And I would just add to that, you know, not having the Supreme Court Chief Justice sitting presiding over it says a lot. And I'm not sure that the president would really want John Roberts there. I'm not sure how Roberts would take his role in this much of a flawed proceeding, whether he'd be aggressive or helpful or not. But the bottom line is Senator Leahy is not the Supreme Court Chief Justice. And so there are errors arising by the moment, and somebody defending the president needs to initially create a long record of all of these flaws in case it ever does make its way to court.
So if the president's team does declare it unconstitutional and the Senate moves ahead with it and doesn't accept that argument, is there recourse to the Supreme Court if the former president were to be convicted?
Yeah, maybe. Probably. I guess I'd even upgrade it to that. But the problem is this Supreme Court has shown a real willingness to invoke procedural obstacles from having to reach the merits. I mean, look at what happened during the whole election process and the fact that all of those lawsuits were really dealt with on procedural barriers rather than the substance of the claims of the election. So I'm not sure there's a lot of enthusiasm from the Supreme Court, but I think this is so outrageous in terms of the flaws of this particular impeachment that just on a pure due process level, they might actually take interest and do something if the president was ordered disqualified.
Well, Jim, I'll look forward to your perspectives as the trial unfolds beginning on February 8th. Jim Trusty, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, as always, thank you very much. And you can follow him on Twitter at Trusty Lawyer.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Have a good weekend.
And you too. 6:57 Saturday morning update on WMAL. John Gizzi coming up, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland in the 7 o'clock hour.
All right, listen up, people. Someone in this apartment is using too much internet.
What? Amy, you don't live here.
Whoa, let's not make this personal. Have you tried gig speed internet from Xfinity?
I've heard about that. Can't you connect, like, a ton of devices?
That's correct, sir. So we can stream, game, face text, or whatever we want to do on all our devices at once.
We?
Oh, you'll barely notice me. Unrelated, does anyone have extra closet space?
Power your devices on the largest gig speed network. Can your internet do that? Get started with Xfinity Internet for $39.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Or ask about the latest breakthrough from Xfinity, Wi-Fi speed faster than a gig. That's more than enough speed to power every device in the house. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay and 3/21/21. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro 200 megabits per second customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Actual speed vary and not guaranteed. Gig over Wi-Fi requires gig internet and compatible X-Fi gateway.
What's keeping you up at night? For many baby boomers, it's questions about retirement. Hi, I'm Abe Abish, founder of Abish Financial Services. And along with my team, I want to help you rest easier by providing useful knowledge to address the concerns you have now while offering ideas on ways you can work to achieve your financial goals in the years ahead. Join me here on WMAL, Saturday afternoon at 2 for Retirement Key Radio. And connect anytime at retirementkeyradio.com.
Dad, I got us Cash 5 with Easy Match to play.
Easy Match? What's that?
It's a Cash 5 upgrade.
I don't know why your generation has to have all these new bells and whistles.
The new Cash 5 has a daily growing jackpot starting at $100,000. And for just a buck more, you could win $500 instantly with Easy Match.
How about that?
Was that a whistle pop? Where's your bell?
The new Cash 5 with Easy Match from the Virginia Lottery. Odds of winning jackpot, 1 in 750,000. Odds of winning Easy Match top prize, 1 in 84,000.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL. A Cumulus station. News now. WMAL.